Good afternoon, Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXEO. Apologize, having a little technical difficulty with my interview with Ray Miller from weatherology.com as we get set to get towards the middle of the work week and sunny skies. The temperature actually warming up fairly nicely here, up to 45 degrees under sunny skies in central Wisconsin. But just having a technical issue here, as we would love to hear the details on the weather as we get into the middle of the work week and head towards the weekend. Reminder that we will be joined by Jesse Apoyan from the Cap Times coming up at 3:15 here. Talk about a terrific article that she had with Ron Johnson. But right now, ready to go here with Ray Miller. Apologize, but here's I had a chance to talk to him during the news break here. So hang on one second. Oh, I thought we had Ray here. Back, Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXEO. It is Tuesday, plenty of sunshine here in central Wisconsin, but still a bit chilly. But that's going to change over the next few days. To find out what to expect weather-wise, we're again joined from Weatherology by meteorologist Ray Miller. And Ray, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. As you mentioned, it is still on the cool side this afternoon, but a gradual warming trend over the next few days. And in fact, we'll have very pleasant temperatures by the time we get to the weekend. This afternoon, partly sunny, high around 40, and it's still going to feel a little bit cooler with northwest winds at up to 40 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight with a low temperature of 27, northwest winds at up to 30 miles an hour. Sunny tomorrow, high temperature of 44. Thursday, sunny with a high of 50. And the real warm-up arrives when we get to Friday. Lots of sun, high of 60 degrees. Sunny Saturday with a high of 61. And for Sunday, just a very slight chance of an isolated shower. Most of the area stays dry with sunshine and a high temperature of 61 degrees. I'm meteorologist Ray Miller in the Weatherology Weather Center.
And Ray, when you talk about, you know, temperature around 40 degrees, winds are blowing. I was just outside, and it still feels not too bad just because there's a little sunshine. Yesterday, it felt really cold with the overcast skies. Today, just a little bit of sunshine goes a long way.
It does make quite a bit of difference, and it's just kind of a mental difference, really. But it does feel a little bit better when that sunshine's coming down.
I have always been susceptible to persuasion. I think the sun is trying to persuade me it's a little bit warmer. So I go with it at this point.
That's exactly right.
But again, it sounds like things are going to get better as we get towards the weekend. We're looking forward to that, and we'll look forward to talking to you again very soon.
I'll see you then. Take care.
And right now in Wausau, some sunshine, fair conditions, 45 degrees. It's a bit warmer than we expected here this afternoon, which is a good thing. It is breezy. Winds out of the northwest at 18 miles per hour, gusting as high as 29 miles per hour. So there is a wind chill of 37 degrees. The dew point is 25, relative humidity of 46%. The barometer at 30.07 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. Oh, I was starting to worry we weren't going to get Ray on, but technical issues, and we've had a few of those here today. And for those of you who are now tuned in on 98.9 FM, welcome. Well, you've been off the air on 98.9. We've still been on 1230 and on our website at bullfallsradio.com through our apps as well, the Civic Media app. If you haven't got the Civic Media app, get it, because not only can you listen to us here on Bull Falls Radio, you can listen to all the other Civic Media radio stations around the state of Wisconsin. But, yep, we are back on 98.9 FM. Apologize for those of you tuned in trying to get our interview with Mandela Barnes. We're going to, I think, replay that interview later in the week, because with us being off of 98.9, I think there's more than a few of you that may have missed it. So coming up later in the week, I think on Friday, we'll replay that interview with Mandela Barnes that I had earlier today. Again, really good to talk to the Lieutenant Governor. In fact, the Lieutenant Governor was holding an event here in central Wisconsin today. So he's getting around the state with only 3 weeks to go before Election Day. Yep, 3 weeks from today, 21 days to go, November the 8th is election night. And of course, we will have complete election night coverage here on Civic Media, including Bow Falls Radio, WXCO, and looking forward to that indeed. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we have Jesse Apoyan from the Cap Times. Their Capitol Bureau Chief wrote a very interesting story called The Political Paradox of Ron Johnson, and a lot of interest in that, and we're going to talk to her about that and the political scene in the state capitol coming up next. So Jesse Apoyan coming up in just over 2 minutes. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. 315, again, sunny skies here in central Wisconsin at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. 45 degrees. And very happy to welcome to the program from the Cap Times, their Capitol Bureau Chief, Jesse Apoyan. And Jesse, again, thank you very much for spending a few minutes with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
You got an article that's got some traction last week. Again, this time of year, we're 3 weeks away from Election Day, and you had a chance to go a little deeper with Ron Johnson, spend some time, I think, with Ron Johnson, and wrote a very interesting article at CapTimes.com, The Political Paradox of Ron Johnson. I guess, first of all, how much time did you spend with the senator to get this story done?
You know, the better part of a day with him kind of on the road on the campaign trail, and then, you know, just a lot of time talking with people who, you know, who know him pretty well and, you know, have known him for a long time or, you know, worked with him politically, worked with him in other capacities.
I got to say, reading the article, there were moments where I nod my head. There's moments when I started yelling at it because of some of the things that Ron Johnson has said over the years that, again, that sometimes gets very under the skin of a lot of folks, including myself. Was there anything in particular that you found during this time talking to the senator, talking to his supporters, talking to normal voters that you came across at the fair that Ron Johnson was hanging out with you that day? Was there anything that, because you've been around Ron Johnson quite a while, you've been around the political beat, did anything surprise you? Did you learn anything new?
I wouldn't say so much that anything surprised me as it really just kind of reaffirmed what, you know, I already sort of thought to be true or already expected in terms of, you know, people who support him. They, you know, they tend to say it's because he speaks what's on his mind, you know, it doesn't hold back. It once doesn't worry, obviously, about who he might offend or, in your case, have screaming at the screen, you know, when you're reading about it. But, you know, something that some of the strategists that I talked to you said is, you know, you don't necessarily have to love everything about the person that you're voting for. You know, it's true that some voters just really do value, you know, what they see as that directness and that sort of unfiltered approach. But, you know, other than that, you know, a lot of the things that came up were the things that he's talking about. You know, voters were asking him about, you know, the media, which I am obviously, you know, part of that, but, you know, not viewed very popularly, not very positively. Asking about, you know, things happening in Congress, asking about, you know, whether he's being treated fairly, whether he's being speared, things like that. So, you know, a lot of the things that he's saying are clearly resonating with voters who are inclined to support him, and you know, they're on their mind.
One of the aspects I really liked about the article is how much you did quote him, that these are exactly what he was saying during your time together. And one of the quotes early in the article that really jumped out to me was when you asked him, what goes into fixing the division? Because he says that he's exhausted by it, which I find hard to believe because he brings it on so much of himself. But at the same time, you asked him, what goes into fixing the division? And you said, Johnson deadpans, can we get rid of the left? And then just to underline it, he says, no, I'm dead serious. I found that to be disturbing in a sense because, and I said this early in the program when I was talking about having you come on, that over the course of my lifetime, and I'm more than 50 years old at this point, sometimes the Democrats would win, sometimes the Republicans would win. I mean, we're a two-party system, and it feels like he's serious about wanting it to be a one-party state, that everything that's bad is because of the left. And when he said that, what was the look in his eye? What did you take that statement in itself to mean?
You know, he was serious. It was something that, you know, he said it. I kind of, he waited a beat, you know, could have been a joke, but as you quoted, he said, no, I'm serious. And, you know, I think that's kind of, that gets at the paradox of it all, right? You know, to say, you know, you hate the division, but, you know, to feel so deeply divided against another party, you know, and I guess your question about one party control is a good one that I, you know, wish maybe I could have asked a little bit more, because I don't know that that's exactly what he's saying. I think it's not necessarily the Democratic Party as it is, like this wing that he, you know, refers to as the left, which is what he's talking about. You know, all the boogeymen that you see on TV, right? You know, the squads, like the much farther left, or the more progressive wing of the Democratic Party.
Again, we're talking to Jesse Apoyan from the Cap Times, their Capital Bureau Chief, here on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Another aspect of Johnson that I find interesting, and you've been around him for a while as well. Has he changed? Has he changed at all from the man that first got elected in 2010? Because there's a sense, and again, maybe I'm completely off, that the Trump years in some way radicalized him. You hear about family members being talked about, they got radicalized during this era. It feels like he has gone a little bit even further than he used to. Have you noticed any change in Johnson since Trump became president?
I mean, that is sort of the eternal debate, I think, about Ron Johnson. Some people who have known him for a long time, the folks who have, you know, Republicans who have bristled against Donald Trump, say absolutely he changed. They say, you know, he wasn't always like this, and you know, it's Trump that changed things. But people who, you know, continue to work with him, people who continue to know him well and support him, say, oh, this is exactly who he's always been. Just the issues are different. The climate's different. So, you know, you can't really know, I guess, what's driving a person beyond what, you know, what they tell you and what the people close to them tell you. But it's up for constant debate, certainly among Republicans who are feeling torn within the party and, you know, torn about where the direction that it's going.
One of the things that I thought you did exceptionally well as all the quotes from Ron Johnson himself, is you put a lot of the controversial issues out there. You didn't comment on them. And you were a reporter in this story. And I wanted to ask you about, because you used to be more of an opinion person. You were the opinion. Were you the opinion editor for the paper?
That was for a short stint in between reporting, a sandwich of reporting.
But in terms of putting together a story like this, to put out the facts and to not let, you know, you throw out there, you know, the mouthwash and stuff like that, and sure. You kind of put it all out there, how difficult is it at times not to go outside the lane in terms of opinion versus straight reporting?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been much more comfortable in the reporting lane. That's, you know, why I didn't stick with the opinion job, which was, you know, a fun thing to try. But I've always been much more comfortable kind of sitting on the sidelines, observing, you know, letting people know what's going on, what people said, letting people kind of share their perspective and let readers interpret it as they will. I don't know that I have, you know, much of an opinion that anyone really cares or needs, you know, needs to know about. Yeah, so I've really actually never had a problem with it. I had much more of a problem trying to come up with opinions to have to share with people.
Along the same line, later in the story, one of the, I think, controversial aspects of this campaign is the racial element, that there are people on the Democratic side that have come back, I think in the last month especially, just saying that this is a racist campaign that the Republicans are putting out there. And you brought that up to Johnson. He says they're playing the race card. How, I guess, in terms as a reporter, you put that out there, but at the same time, are you allowed to say, hey, I mean, there are facts here that need to be pursued as well? Because I think that is one of the aspects of this campaign that has been very disturbing to a lot of people. And Johnson seems to just brush it off, both in the story, and I think he also brushed it off in the debates as well. How difficult is trying to go into the weeds of that issue of this campaign?
Yeah, it's always difficult. You know, it's something that I think reporters have become a little bit more comfortable calling that out when they see it, when it can be clearly called out. It's hard, you know, to put motives on someone else. But when something is clearly racist, or when something is, you know, being perceived as racist by the person it's targeting, then maybe intent doesn't matter so much. It's difficult to navigate like anything else where, you know, people have differing opinions, but it is something where sometimes, you know, I think we do have the responsibility to call it out where we can. It's difficult. I'm not going to lie. It's difficult.
You mentioned earlier that one of the key aspects that Johnson does is he calls out the left. He calls out the media. He basically says they're treating me unfairly. They hate me. They want me out. Does he give specifics? Did you have a chance to talk to him? Because he talks about that all the time, and he complained that the first debate was unfair. And again, I mean, maybe he sees things that others don't, but does he get into specifics on where he specifically says the media is out to get me and hates me? Because he says a lot of these things. And again, like I said with you, you had a lot, you quoted him, you let his voice be a big part of this story. Did he get into it at all where he finds the media as being unfair and basically, in his words, almost unpatriotic at times?
It's all the issues that I think, you know, we talked about in the story, the ones that you've mentioned so far, you know, his comments on COVID and treatments for it, his comments on January 6th, anything that attracts a lot of attention and, you know, as such attracts a lot of negative attention. Those are all the things he kind of referenced when he was talking about that, or feeling like, you know, things that he says are being misinterpreted or twisted, or, you know, which every politician feels that way, I think, but he maybe feels it a little bit more than your average.
And you actually added a couple of, I thought, very nice aspects to Johnson's character in terms of the opioid connection he had, and also with the military person who ended up working for him. How did you come across those stories, and how did you feel like handling those stories as well to show, I think, a different side of Johnson?
Yeah, you know, those are people that I was aware of. You know, the legislation that he worked on, that opioid legislation, was something that, you know, I've followed from here. It's something that actually was passed at the state level here, so I was a little more familiar with it. And and I've written about that issue and how it factors into politicians and their campaigns frequently, really, over the last 10 years or so. So that, that one just made sense to me. And, you know, Jason Church's story is, you know, and he's someone who wasn't really involved in politics until he met, you know, Ron Johnson. And he's, you know, since run for office, remains, you know, really involved. So it just seems like, you know, interesting aspects to highlight, sort of, you know, the things that you maybe don't see every day.
Obviously, it is still a very close election, and 21 days until Election Day. As you cover, you know, this race, and I know you cover a lot of other aspects of what's going on with the governors and at the State House as well, what are the things that, coming down the stretch, that you're going to be looking at in terms of the important either issues or the important aspects of these campaigns coming down the stretch in determining who ultimately wins?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have any more debates, so it's unfortunately kind of down to ads and news coverage, and I think we know, you know, which one of those things voters are seeing more of right now.
Exactly.
So it's seeing, you know, which ads resonate, which issues resonate. You know, does anything happen on the issues that we know people care about, like, you know, abortion, crime, inflation, public schools? Does anything happen that the campaigns can't control, that they have to answer to or respond to, or that they can, you know, message on to their advantage? At this point, it's sort of just the unpredictable for the last few weeks. Is there something that we, you know, just can't anticipate, or does it continue to follow the lines that it's been following, where it does seem like crime and inflation are driving the narrative right now? Something that we're not going to know until it's all over. And I think, I quoted someone, a Democratic strategist, saying as much in my story was, how much does abortion factor into this? How much does it actually motivate Democratic voters? We know it's the most important issue to a lot of them, but, you know, does it get people to polls?
Jesse, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Jesse Apoyan for Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Thanks again from the Cap Times, Jesse Opoyan, for joining us. Again, a very interesting article. Don't agree with everything that it said, but as Jesse said, she's not an opinion writer. She's a straightforward news writer, and I think you'll learn some things about Ron Johnson. You'll learn about what Ron Johnson's supporters believe, and she puts it all out there, so you can make your own mind up. She puts out the very odd things that Ron Johnson has said over the years, but for Ron Johnson to complain about the media all the time when basically they're just saying what he says, reporting what he says. Again, it's just, it doesn't mean we're radicals. But again, I just found it very interesting. And, you know, if you're a Ron Johnson supporter, you're going to love his, you know, shoot from the lip kind of attitude. But again, there's a lot of interesting pieces of writing in here. It talked about, you know, watching Ron Johnson talk to some of his supporters at the Sheboygan County Fair. Jesse Opoyan wrote, in between signing Trump 2024 baseball caps and yard signs for his own campaign, Wisconsin senior senator poses with families, crouches to shake hands with children, and chats with supporters. A man working the Lions Club's grilled cheese and roasted corn stand leaves his post long enough to tell Johnson to make sure you get Hunter Biden. Another group says Washington is getting worse and worse, getting scary with Democrats' tenuous grasp on political party. With political power, and then Johnson says, we can win if the truth gets out. I didn't really talk about that because it wasn't up to Jesse Opoyan to delve into whether Ron Johnson is a liar, because, you know, it's up to people to listen to what he says and then listen to what he does to figure that out. But again, the part that Johnson is running on is as a truth teller. And I just find it very interesting. The man has not been a truth teller, and yet he wants to run on it. I'm curious to see in the end whether that works, because I think the people of Wisconsin, if you're not a true blue Ron Johnson supporter, they realize that Ron Johnson is just like the others in Washington in terms of shading things. I go back to that whole story that came out that said that Ron Johnson was going to be a mule for the Trump administration to try and overturn the election, try to bring in those phony electors. And Ron Johnson lied to CNN. Well, I'm on the phone. He wasn't on the phone. He lied. He has changed his story over and over again. And yet he is running as a truth teller. And his supporters feel like he's not afraid to tell the truth. I mean, it's just very odd. And again, the man decries division. He keeps saying, I hate division. But he basically runs right into it. And even looking at the second debate last week, there was a question very early in the debate that Mandela Barnes answered. I don't think there was anything overly controversial in the answer, but Ron Johnson had decided, I'm certain of it, that early in that debate he was going to come out and have this prepared speech and give it on how don't believe anything that Mandela Barnes says. I just find it so interesting that the liar tries to point the finger at the other person as a liar when that's not the case. And then Johnson at the very end of the debate brought it back and said, don't believe anything this man says about me. Basically, he says, don't believe your lying eyes. Don't believe anything that anybody says about me because I tell the truth. I mean, January 6th was not an insurrection. We got the pictures. Advising people to gargle mouthwash to kill COVID-19? And he's mad at the media for reporting that? Suggesting funding for Social Security and Medicare should be up for renewal every year? Gets mad that people bring that up? And 6 years ago saying that at the end of his second term, he would retire from the U.S. Senate, and he did not tell the truth there. He is a man that just is a man that runs on grievance, campaigning as a man that's hated by the left, hated by the news media, and hated by everybody else because he tells the truth. Ron Johnson, again, is a guy that was born on third base. He thinks he hit a triple. I was really annoyed last Thursday during the debate when there's questions about Mandela Barnes' diploma. And that's why I asked Jesse Appoyan about the racism issue, because I don't envy Jesse Appoyan or any reporter that is not an opinion person. And again, you have to be able to separate people that are opinion and people that are news reporters. I come out and say it right here. I am not a news reporter. I give my opinion. I try to put it in perspective each and every day, but I am not a news reporter. I'm more of the opinion side, and I try to be very upfront about that. Jesse Appoyan is a straight news reporter, and she's a very good one, exceptionally good one. And I think the way that she put this story together, she put that information out there. She mentioned the mouthwash. She mentions January 6th. She mentions Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, the things that Ron Johnson has said. She added aspects of Ron Johnson's life that actually make Ron Johnson look good. The one aspect of the story that Ron Johnson and the opioid story that Johnson is somebody that is fighting for some legislation in terms of opioids. The thing about it that often comes up with the GOP is they will fight for these issues once they are personally affected by it. If you're going to be somebody that represents the people of your state, represents the people of your district, or represents the people of your town, you have to look beyond yourself. You have to look at their lives. You have to be able to say, this is something that would improve their lives, not wait for it to improve your life. And I go back to Nancy Reagan. She became a big proponent of Alzheimer's research after her husband got it. Didn't care about it until then. And again, it's a natural thing. I'm not begrudging Johnson or Nancy Reagan for putting their power behind something after it affected them. But if you're Ron Johnson, or if you're anybody that is a representative of the people, you have to look beyond yourself and say, this is something that may not affect my life, but it affects the people that I serve, the people that I represent. And too often, we don't see that from Republicans. And we see it, though, with their tax policies. They'll fight for those tax cuts that do affect them. And again, I just think that that's one thing Democrats do much better. They try to put themselves in the shoes of somebody else. There's a commercial that's running for Bob Look for the state Senate. Bob Look running for the 29th state Senate seat against Corey Tomchek, and he's running some commercials. And I heard a commercial where he said, I wish I had the complete wording, but basically walk a mile in the other person's shoes or walk a mile in my shoes. Basically, don't judge somebody else until you've walked a mile in their shoes. And then he says that as a state senator, he's going to serve with that in mind, that I'm going to serve these people. I'm going to put myself a mile in their shoes. And Ron Johnson, being somebody that's pushing this opioid bill in the Senate, great, wonderful. Talking to the people that suffered in that, great. But again, step out. I mean, doesn't he realize that there are many other issues that affect people's lives in very important ways that should be pushed by their senator? So again, it's one of those situations where, yeah, that's a nice part of the biography of Ron Johnson, but it shouldn't have to affect him personally for him to push it in the United States Senate. Part of the article I haven't really touched on is that she does talk to Democrats, say why people may not like Ron Johnson. And basically it's because he has been a firm opponent to abortion access. He has been named co-sponsor year after year after year on personhood bills, that life begins at the moment of conception. So for Ron Johnson then now to talk like he's some sort of, middle-of-the-road guy, yeah, I'm pro-life, but I would vote for, exceptions, and I'm not going to support in vitro fertilization and contraception. and never vote to prevent a woman from receiving life-saving care in the case of a miscarriage or ectopic pregnancy. Again, it's easy to say that. I mean, you remember years ago that Scott Walker said, I would never sign a right-to-work bill while running for re-election, and then once the election was over, that bill came to him and he signed it. Go deeper than words that these politicians say right before an election. They try to soften their views. They try to soften some of the more controversial statements they made in the middle of their term because they know it may not sound so good when they're up for re-election. So again, Ron Johnson is not going to be a supporter for women if he gets re-elected to the U.S. Senate. It's going to be interesting. It really is. I find it interesting as well in the article talking about an ad that Johnson put out about his upbringing that was narrated by his brother. The thing about that ad, it sounds wonderful. You know, great little biographical piece on Ron Johnson. I've never seen that commercial. I've seen a lot of political commercials in this last couple of months. I never saw that spot with Ron Johnson talking about his upbringing and being narrated by his brother. I've seen a lot of those other commercials where Ron Johnson and his supporters, the third-party supporters, put Mandela Barnes in these commercials talking about crime, linking Mandela Barnes to rioting in Racine, saying that Mandela Barnes wants to release everybody, violent criminals. Mandela Barnes wants to make your community less safe. Mandela Barnes is different. We see a lot of those. I haven't seen that commercial. So if Ron Johnson did have that commercial that was spoken about in the article, well, I've never seen it. I'd like to see it because as I talked about with Mandela Barnes in the last hour, we've seen Mandela Barnes stay positive. Even in the onslaught of all these negative spots, Mandela Barnes has done a really nice job of staying positive, of still trying to talk about his hopes, his aspirations for Wisconsin should he become the next U.S. Senator from this great state. It's going to be two very close elections, very close, both for the governor and for the Senate. Don't forget the attorney general. That's a very important race, and sometimes I think it gets a little bit under the radar. Josh Call running for re-election. You don't hear a lot about that election, but it's going to be very important in terms of where the Attorney General and the Department of Justice in the state spend their time and spend their energy and spend their money. Need to take a quick break. We're going to come back. Have one more segment to go here on this Tuesday edition, Chad Holmes Show. On Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Friday night, the Newman Catholic High School football team plays host to McDonald Catholic in an 8-player football Level 1 playoff. Hear the game live online at bullfallsradio.com and Sports Stream 2, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and kickoff at 7 p.m. The game can also be heard on delay following the broadcast of the Wausau West playoff. Newman Catholic High School Fighting Cardinals football on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is brought to you locally by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Sun Printing, REI Engineering, Varney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, the Newman Catholic Athletic Booster Club, and the Newman Friends of the Gridiron. It's Newman Catholic taking on Chippewa Falls McDonald in an 8-player football WIAA Level 1 playoff. Hear the game live online at BullFallsRadio.com and the Sports Stream 2, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and kickoff at 7 p.m. The game can also be heard on delay on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, immediately following our coverage of the Wausau West playoff. Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. One more segment to go, and just came across during the last break. I was just looking at the latest news, and in the last half hour, the Center for Media and Democracy put out a story about Dick Uihlein. Dick Uihlein, Republican mega donor, Uihlein CEO. Well, he has injected his Restoration Political Action Committee with another $7.1 million between July and September to elect right-wing Republicans, bringing his total funding for the super PAC this cycle to $20.8 million, 97% of its total revenues. Restoration PAC used those new funds to donate $6.5 million to anti-abortion groups and right-wing state-based campaigns. Also spent $300,000 to fight the U.S. Senate races of incumbent Senators Mark Kelly, Catherine Cortez Masto, along with candidate Mandela Barnes, according to a quarterly report filed on October 15th with the Federal Elections Commission. Wow. Also, it's not just that amount. In the story, it says that Uihlein has now spent $54.2 million as the top Republican, the top Republican donor in the federal midterm elections. $54.2 million. Richard Uihlein. I mean, and the thing is, they just keep doing it. They are a never-ending funnel to right-wing candidates, to anti-abortion groups, to far-right causes. And it's not just this year. It's every single year this man funnels in tens of millions of dollars. And this is one of the Ron Johnson donors that got that huge tax break by Ron Johnson putting that one line item in the 2017 Trump tax bill. That is how our government works. Ron Johnson puts a line in the Trump tax bill to get 8 to 9 figures back to Dick Uihlein, and then he spends all that money on his causes. You talk about corrupt. That is corrupt. $54 million. $54 million in this cycle. Also, some of this, where's this money going? Let's see, you got $650,000 to America's PAC. It's an Iowa-based group. This cycle, Uihlein is, again, almost fully funded America's PAC. The America's PAC website indicates it targets Hispanic and Black communities with ads supporting free market candidates and Republican principles. FCC filings show has not yet placed ads in the federal general elections this year. Uihlein have also given $375,000 to Fair Courts America. Fair Courts America claims on its website, progressive activists seek to take control of the courts away from the people to enact a liberal agenda resulting in violence and crime in our communities and creating victims of our neighbors. Fair Courts America is committed to standing against this tide, uniting voters across the political spectrum and restoring America's courts to their original purpose. Fair Courts America disclosed spending $250,000 to defeat Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers' appointee Lori Kornblum in the April election for Wisconsin's District 2 Court of Appeals. I mean, just Uline's $360,000 to Western Conservatives. That is a group that's attacked selected state Republican candidates and other individuals as rhinos, Republicans in name only, and others who are not far right enough. $328,000 from Uline's to Stampede America, an ex-military canvassing and get-out-the-vote unit, which received $328,000 for grassroots activity. The National Rifle Association of America Political Victory Fund and the Kathy Salvi for U.S. Senate campaign are Stampede clients this year. Salvi seeking to unseat U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth in Illinois this November. Uline's also $280,000 to Election Integrity PAC. And it already had funneled $847,000 to the group in the second quarter. So that brings Restoration PAC's 2022 contributions to Election Integrity PAC to over $1 million this year alone. And $205,000 to the Republican National Lawyers Association. Dick Uline. Uline's. I mean, just amazing. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? It's mind-boggling. I mean, it's crazy what they have spent on these far-right causes, and especially here in Wisconsin. Wow. That's wow. On that happy note, we're going to wrap up this edition of the Chad Holmes Show. Thanks to Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor, U.S. Senate candidate Mandela Barnes for joining me. Also, thanks to Jesse Apoyan from the Cap Times as well. If you missed our program, you can go to civicmedia.us, go to our podcast page, and then you can listen to these programs as well. Civicmedia.us, and you can tune into this program and a whole bunch more. We'll be back tomorrow. Another edition from 2 to 4, Chad Holmes Show, here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO.